T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Other than the Super Bowl, it doesn't get bigger than March Madness, because, again, it's not just all the action that's being bet here and legally, all the office pools. I mean, just people just want action. When it comes to March Madness, whether you're betting the entire college basketball season or not, most people want to have something riding on this tournament.
Now, VR, I guess that they're proven differently. What about the Virginia Cavaliers? Because it seems like, boy, they hell during the regular season. And I was just looking at the metric top defenses and top offense. They were ranked right under Gonzaga as the number 2 offense. And overall, they were ranked 5th defensively. So when you look at 2 and 5, and I'm comparing them to Duke, UNC, and Gonzaga, that number 2 offense, number 5 defense. Could this be maybe Virginia's year, or you still don't trust them?
You know, I thought it was Virginia's year for the last couple seasons. I mean, they had a team a couple seasons that I remember putting them on my bracket, having them cutting down the nets, and they just never got it done. Here's the one thing I will tell you about Virginia. Granted, their metrics look great. They're up top at KenPom, which, you know, his analytics get a lot of respect, and he's got them number 1. With that said, wise guys that bet, and again, there's a difference between statisticians, guys that analyze matchups, and guys that actually bet and move lines and make a profit betting sports. And according to those guys that bet money, they would make Duke or Gonzaga a favorite over Virginia. Both of those teams would be a favorite. In fact, North Carolina and Virginia would probably be a pick-em. Maybe Virginia minus 1. And if they made them even higher, I think you'd see sharp money come in on the Carolina side. And again, that's the only thing that gives me some pause, that their analytics look great, but I've seen that from them a lot in the past because of the style of play. They just do real good statistically. I mean, there's like some teams that win games and don't do well statistically. We saw that a couple years back in football with the Indianapolis Colts, where all the advanced metrics guys kept saying, oh, this is the worst team that ever made the playoffs, or this is statistically, they're a 6-win football team, but they had 10-11 wins for a season. So some teams just find a way to get it done ugly. Other teams, you know, look great on the stat sheet and just can't win the big game. And I think that's the only fear with Virginia. It's another year where everything looks great, but until they're able to show me they could get over that hump, I'm not willing to bet them, especially on a future where the payoff just isn't really too high.
Now, VR, speaking of like value, who gives you the best bang for your buck? And what is considered like a dark horse? Is it like if you seeded 6 or lower, or what is when you see like a dark horse coming out of nowhere, and about the value also of all the teams?
That great question. And here's where you have to remember, if you're looking to cash a future bet, you got to look at a big sample size. And here's what we do know: no team worse than a number 6 seed has made it to the championship game, okay? Only 2 championship games have had a team worse than a 6 seed in 33 years. So you should really not look for a team worse than a 6 seed on your future bets. Granted, could it be the 1 in 33 that it happens? Maybe, but that they're not the kind of, things you want to be backing with money. You want something with a little more substance than that. So you want to look for someone that has a legitimate shot. And to me, the one team that really sticks out that's being so overlooked is Tennessee. This is a number 2 seed that during the regular season was number 1 for a little while there. Their only losses are to Kansas early in the season, overtime, Kentucky on the road, LSU in overtime on the road, and then Auburn by 4 on the road. okay? And then they got revenge against Kentucky in the SEC tournament. This is a team that was ranked number one in offensive efficiency in the SEC, number two in defensive efficiency in the SEC. It's a pretty good conference to rank one and two in. And then you add to the mix that they are number three in the metric of its minutes of continuity, meaning how long have these players played together? Has it been weeks, months, seasons? This team's number three in the nation. These guys have been playing together for a while. And then you couple that with a ton of experience, a lot of upperclassmen, and a tall team, you know, 40th in height. You want some size. And finally, they average, 82 points a game, and only 25% of that comes from beyond the three-point line.
But they
don't even have to be hot every night to beat you.
But then,
so for me, I think 15-1, two-seed Tennessee jumped out at me.
You know, VR, with that being said, though, in these parts, you know, they looked maybe the revenge factor they thought would come into play when the Auburn Tigers waxed them in the SEC championship on a neutral site. You know,
Auburn's another, but they're a five. The problem is that five seed, man. It's hard to go that far when you're seeded down low. I mean, the road just gets so difficult. Where if you look at the road for these one and two seeds, especially if there's an upset, which always is, you know, in those 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 range, you get these one and two seeds end up having to play a 13 or a 14, you know, to get to the Sweet 16 or Elite Eights, playing someone real low. So they just have such an easier road compared to anyone below a four seed. And I think that's why, like I said, over 33 years, we've only seen two times worse than a six seed even get to that position, you know, let alone cut down the nets. So I think, again, we always look for Cinderella. It's a great story when she makes it there. But more times than not, the clock strikes 12 before she gets a chance to cut down the net. So unless you could get good return and hedge that, but unfortunately, what you got to remember, if you have a nice big underdog that's 20-1, 30-1, and they make it to the championship game, they're going to be a big underdog in that championship game. So it's very hard to hedge when you're getting 8, 9, 10 points, because now that favorite is a -300 favorite. So to hedge that, you have to have a big bankroll. And that's the problem with these big long shots. They rarely get there, but when they do, it also rarely leaves you an ability to hedge because, again, there's such an underdog in that final game that it's hard then to take the favorite on the money line and lock in a profit.
Vegas runner of thebigmoves.com, pro bettor and handicapper at @Greek_gambler on Twitter. VR, a lot of the bracketology experts are picking Yale to upset LSU in the first round. How do you feel about that? If you're putting money on that,
I'm not seeing it. I like LSU to advance. Now again, the point spread is another story altogether. In the land of laying 11 to win 10, the point spread becomes the great equalizer. Will they cover the spread? That's another story. And I can understand while I'm seeing some love for Yale, because they usually are an undervalued team, and LSU has that name recognition, so you would think the line would be shaded in their favor. So I could understand why there's some love for that Yale team. But again, as far as covering and winning the games are two totally different things, and I think LSU has more than enough to get it done. I like the over a lot. I don't think you're going to see that 157 there long. If you agree with me, I highly recommend you don't wait on that. I think it's only going to move in one direction, and that's up. I think these two get into the mid-160s, if not high 160s. I was surprised the total came out under 160 when it did. Like I said, I bet over 157 immediately, and I'm probably going to bet it a couple more times if they don't adjust it. I think you're going to see points there, and I think LSU will get it done. Point spread, I wouldn't lay it with them, but I wasn't one of the guys that took the points with Yale like I know a lot of sharp bettors did.
VR, we got to take a break. I got one more, so does Bobby. Can you sit with us for about 3 minutes?
Sure, no problem. No problem.
We'll continue with Vegas Runner here on Sports Talk on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, hanging out with Vegas Runner, pro bettor and handicapper at thebigmoves.com, @Greek_gambler, breaking down the NCAA men's basketball tournament, best bets. And VR, is there a team that nobody's really talking about that you feel like, hey, I'd be willing to place a bet on them getting into the Sweet 16 or Elite 8?
And Texas Tech is a team that jumped out, that's no one's talking about, and that's a number three seed that's getting no respect. I think they could make a little run. And I think you'll get value on a team like that throughout because, again, like I said, they're a team that is being very much overlooked. And I only have about 7-8 teams that I would put favored over Texas Tech on a neutral court. Those are the kind of teams that I'm looking for. You know, that point spread wise, I think they could hang around and be within 4 or 5 points of even the best teams in the country. And another team that is right there, I mean, they're up there because they're ranked high, but no one's talking about, what's it called, Michigan State. Another team that, again, it's a two seed, not going to surprise anyone, and they won their tournament. But seeing at the sports books, they're not getting much love at all. Especially in the futures market. But to me, that really stuck out is the Texas Tech and the Virginia Tech, the 3 and 4, those two techs getting no respect at all. And again, power rating wise, not bad at all. Especially again, like Texas Tech, I only got about 7 teams favored over them. And even Virginia Tech, I got them in the top 20. They could make a Sweet 16 run for sure.
Now, VR, you mentioned Texas Tech, and I actually have them getting to the Elite Eight, but losing to Gonzaga to go to the Final Four. But with that being said, and you look at individual stars, what are like the prop bets on who could be that MVP and become a household name? Like Zion Williamson out of Duke is a household name. And I'm looking at this All-American shooting guard, Texas Tech, Jared Culver. Is he one of those guys? What would be like the odds on those prop bets? And then you look, obviously, from Marquette, Marcus Howard, and then really a dark horse, Murray State, NBA player, my understanding, at the high level, maybe lottery pick, Jai Morant. Just talk about, like, what are the odds on those type of individuals and really becoming household names?
Again, it's how far are they going to make a run? That's what it's going to come down to. The way you become a household name is – you make a run in front of a national audience and no bigger audience than coming at March Madness. As far as prop bets, the ones that get the most attention are who has like more tourney wins, Duke or Virginia, and they'll have a matchup. Who wins more, Virginia against a number one seed. Those prop bets, along with whether to make the Sweet 16, yes or no, those attract the most betting action. Now, as far as, you know, tournament MVP, you don't bet Zion, even if he wins it.
Right.
I mean, that's where you stay away from. Those names you touched on, that's where I would be looking. But with that said, you want to also make it a team that has a shot of going far because you're not going to, even if you put up 50 in the first game and you get knocked out, you ain't winning anything. You know, you can put up 100
right.
in the first game and get knocked out, and you're not getting anything. So you want it to be come from a team that at least has a shot to get to the Final Four because you want to get into that final weekend. That's where everyone will be talking about. You remember, you got a whole week from the Elite Eight to that Final Four, and there's only 4 teams that everyone's going to be dissecting. So if you could make it into one of those 4 teams, I think that's where you want to look as far as MVP of the tournament goes. And the good thing with that is I don't think you even have to win the national championship. You just got to get in that 4. So I think you want to look towards a team like that, a Texas Tech, a player on a team that has a legitimate shot. Again, a star on a team that isn't going anywhere, even though he's that the star of the team, they don't get past the Sweet 16. You're not winning no tournament MVP.
Vegas Runner, TheBigMoves.com. Check him out there, pro bettor and handicapper, one of the best in the business, if not the best, nearly 70% when it comes to football. How's your basketball? How'd you do last year real quick?
You know, I had a good March Madness. It's profitable for me year after year. This year, conference tournaments, I lost money. I tell it like it is. I tell you when I win, tell you when I lose. And this conference tournaments, I was so excited looking forward to it because usually I build such a lead in the conference tournaments that the big dance, we turn a little bit of profit. They haven't been great. But this year, it's looked like the opposite. Conference tournaments did not go that well, and now I'm excited about the big dance because there's been a while back that we haven't won in the conference. conference tournament, and I remember having a huge, big dance when that happened. So I'm hoping that trend continues for us, and it's a good couple weeks ahead. But again, the conference tournaments were difficult for me this season.
Nobody better. VR, thanks, man.
Thanks for having me.
All right, you bet.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.